Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today, I am joined once again by voluntarist and future seater extraordinaire David Rodriguez. David is joined by filmmaker Renee Perez, and both David and Renee are working on an incredibly ambitious, I would say, film project, and it's much larger than that. It's a whole vision for using the medium of film to seed an infinitely better, more wonderful future. I had them both on the show to talk about how movies function as social engineering, how movies are supporting the devolution, demoralization of culture. Renee, as an industry insider for decades, has some phenomenal insights on how Hollywood has been using film and television to propagandize and socially engineer the populace. One of those. It was a really juicy, fun conversation, especially for the pop culture movie lovers out there. Before we dive in, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button and thanking you. And to click that like button, to share, to comment, to do all of those things that allow me and us to get greater reach. I'm also inviting you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. I'm also reminding you that I have an awesome, newly re-released, new and improved, infinitely more colorable, transformational coloring book called Yes, I Am, which is on sale now. It is designed and appropriate for kiddos and grownups and everyone in between. So I am advising you to run, don't walk, and buy copies for everyone you know and love immediately through my website, dannykatz.com. All right, that does it for housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Renee Perez and David Rodriguez. Renee Perez and Dave Rodriguez, it's such an honor to have you both here. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great to be with you, Danny.
Awesome. It's so rare. I think this is probably the first time that I've interviewed two people at once on my show. So just to give our audience a lay of the land, could you let me know a little bit about your partnership and how it is that you are both coming to me as a team today?
Dave, you want to take this one?
Sure. Yes. Danny, you and I know the planet is in deep trouble, so we're looking for solutions. And so I met Renee through a friend over a year ago now, and I found out he's a movie director and a courageous movie director. And so we've been spending some time together and formulated this idea to make this movie, and the movie would show solutions to the world that we're facing right now using the principles of the exit and build philosophy, exiting the systems, build the world that we want to see, voluntary living, every relationship needs to be voluntary. Intentional neighborhoods, independent food, water, energy. So we have the ideas, but Renee has the expertise to put it on the screen, which is where most of us learn. People, unfortunately, aren't reading too many books these days. They listen to podcasts and they watch documentaries and these kind of things. But film, narrative fiction film, is one of the most powerful mediums to get the ideas to the world. And so that's kind of how we met up, and we had a lot in common, realizing that both parties are pretty much criminals and there's not going to be some world-changing solutions from those guys. It's going to be us. It's going to be changing the culture. And so that's how we linked up, and now we formulated the plan, and Renee wrote the script, and he's got a really amazing background, which I know you're going to get into. And so we linked up, and so we're kind of figuring out this process to build independent film and create solutions for humanity to change the culture and change the world.
Awesome. I love that. I'm so excited to hear that. And it feels like it's really perfect timing, given that Hollywood seems to be crumbling in real time underneath our noses. Dave, I know you and I know one another. Renee, this is our first time meeting. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of background as to why I was so excited to have this conversation and so excited about the project that you guys are working on. So my background is I'm a journalist. I've been working in documentaries, spreading truth for decades now. And I met with an old friend of mine, Mickey Willis, back in 2019 when he was Children's Health Defense had reached out to him to come up with some ideas for advertisements to put a stop to the medical. They were at that time, it was, I think it was SB something or other, where they were trying to outlaw medical exemptions for the children's vaccine panel. So Mickey and I partnered up on that project, and the whole time I was like, we need stories, we need animation. It can't just be a conspiracy theorist talking into a camera telling people what to do. We need to utilize the best of Hollywood and storytelling to start moving in that direction and make things more entertaining. I didn't win that battle. It didn't go that way. But I've been seeing this for a long time. And so I'm so excited that you guys are picking up the magic of storytelling, filmmaking as a means of waking people up. So, Renee, I'm curious, when Dave came to you with this idea, were you already kind of walking this trajectory of sharing truth and waking people up through filmmaking? Tell me, I'd love to know a little bit about your background as a filmmaker.
Yeah, well, I just finished making my 40th movie, directing and writing and cinematography. But yeah, when I met Dave, I was already making chaotic plans. I made a movie in 2019 called The Insurrection, and in The Insurrection, it was explaining how Hollywood socially engineers the population through movies, and that now they've become 100% human, just trying to exploit us. It used to be half and half. You used to get movies with good morals and then ones where you're good tax cattle. But now they've gone all the way to the left, only to put in things that will hurt us and make us stupid and obedient. So in that movie Insurrection, I had a little conversation back and forth where one of the characters tells the other, well, if the sheep get any smarter, we'll just release the virus ahead of schedule. And then a year later, a year and a half later, we had the COVID virus. And everyone wondered, how the heck did I know? And I said, I don't know. I just make little B movies. And this sounds like a B movie plot to enslave the human race. It's not my fault that the overseers in our real world are not more clever than a B movie plot, that I could figure out what they're doing. So I was already into it, and I've always had stories about being self-reliant and following nature as opposed to following trends. So I was already in that. That's why I'm relegated to only making B movies, because I don't follow the Hollywood tropes of, showing women that they only have a worth if they act like a man. So they have women kung fuing, 250-pound bodybuilder stuntmen. And I have daughters and I have kids. I don't want them to fall for the same really dumb propaganda. So I've always tried to tell the truth, but with Dave, I found he had the actual answers. So while I was stumbling around saying, well, we should have get away from the government. Why do we even need them? What do you mean voting? I've never voted in my life. These are crazy. These are all just con men. It's clear as you could see. But he had a lot of ideas on how to exactly do it, which got my mind out of chaos and focused on his ideas. So with that, I was able to change some of my ideas to have a lot more focus and to be able to give not just complaints or conspiracy theories, but actual ways that we could live, solutions. So that's why I was so interested in connecting and partnering up with David.
Dave's so great when it comes to solutions, solutioning. Renee, I'm curious, what came first for you? Becoming a filmmaker, waking up to what I call the sham show, you know, how fake our reality is. Which came first?
Well, when I first became awake was, I think, around 1993, and it was just as easy as turning off television. Mm-hmm. I stopped watching television in 1993, but in that time, I think that was the Paleolithic era, there was no technology for me to be a movie director. Mm-hmm. I was a musician, and so I became awake first, and then a few years later, technologies came around to make B-movie filming a possibility. So I started to become awake in 1993, and it really is just as simple as turning off the media. Mm-hmm. You start to see everything so clear. It's like putting on the glasses and they live. I mean, when we watch movies, my kids and I, we watch old movies because there's better old movies than there are better new movies. So, and I'm not just talking like an old man, which I am, by the way, but it's just the honest truth. Back in those days, they really did use movies to try to make good people. And you are exactly right about using movies to spread good information. The conservative people or people who are awake always want to use logic, but they don't understand that we're humans who have emotions and logic. And half of the population are women who are very illogical thinkers. They're more emotional thinkers. The other half are males, and we have logic, but we also have emotions. So that's why the Bible is a book of stories. It's not a book of facts. That's why everything important that has ever shaped us is in story format. The first thing that babies want after they have milk is to be entertained with stories. It's ingrained in us, and it's just the way we learn. Mm-hmm. Other creatures learn other ways, but we as humans learn how to relate to each other through narrative stories. So while documentaries and podcasts are great to spark the imagination, nothing will ever hit as hard as hearing an idea in a movie. Mm-hmm. Because it's got the music, it's got the emotion, people are going through some adventure that you want to be a part of. And Hollywood knows this. So they socially engineer us by making evil things acceptable. Mm-hmm. By putting heroes in a story, finding them acceptable. And it's just the perfect way to socially engineer a planet. And you could see everything that's evil about our culture. It has been done through movies and TV shows. And it's just a fact. It's not even a conspiracy theory anymore. It could be proven like math.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, I teach teens about propaganda, and we always talk about media before the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and media after the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And it's not to say there wasn't propaganda and social engineering happening before 2013, but there's such a stark difference in the content that's putting out now. So I'd love to know from your perspective, like, when did you start to see television movies take a turn towards demoralization or engineering us in ways that run counter to life?
Well, in 2015, it became an edict. Mm-hmm. In 2015, the orders came down from the very top, and they came down even to people like me, which mm-hmm. I am, you know, a low person on the ladder of Hollywood hierarchy. So if it even came down to people like me making lowly B movies, you could bet that the people on top have this, because let's say a big Hollywood movie gets hundreds of millions of people of an audience. So they have to make sure that their propaganda is 100%. With little guys like me and podcasts and documentaries, they're less strict. Each one of my movies gets seen by a couple of million people. Mm-hmm. As opposed to hundreds of millions. So things, superhero movies get seen by hundreds of millions of people, and that could be more than the entire population of the country. So for those movies, they are very strict, and they hire basically people who are not artists, but just activists. And then they hire people who can keep the camera in focus and make the effects look good to do the rest of it, to do the actual filmmaking. But it's all just social engineering of the worst kind. And a lot of people in our society don't notice it because of the, you ever heard the, if you want to boil a frog, you got to boil them slowly.
Yes.
So they've been conditioned since the 90s, I think, with the New World Order. They really have been putting, you'll notice in the 90s, you'll remember very few movies, very few gems, very few classic movies, because it is the time when they started to demoralize us by making not so great things. Like in the 70s, there was wild and great innovation. In the 80s, there was so much greatness. Every time you went to the theater, it was a classic movie that would someday be a classic. And if you look before the 70s, you find a lot of mediocre stuff because they didn't have filmmaking down. But sometimes you find some incredible gems, like lifetime bests. But I think in the 90s, they started to demoralize by making just things that are not very good. And now the things are horrible quality, but they're filmed very well and they're very shiny and they're acted very proficiently. But they are all just activist-led propaganda movies of people who must be obedient to whoever it is that rules over us, and making men weak, making women promiscuous, and lowering everyone's value. So if a man says, "Well, I have no one to fight for in this world, I might as well play video games," that's why we have such a epidemic of weak men, and it all stems from movies. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I don't mean to glorify my industry or say we're very important. It's just that our movies have a way of affecting people the way nothing else can. And that's why the bigger Hollywood people who obey, who don't come on podcasts and say their whole nefarious plans, are rewarded so well, and they're made into, they're given awards and all these. I mean, there's not even awards for firefighters or priests and nuns who dedicate their lives to the poor, but there's like 10 award shows for Hollywood hacks. It's crazy. All these overly medicated actors getting golden statues and pervert, producers and directors getting accolades as if they're some kind of saint, when really they're just being awarded for keeping us cattle in our place and dumb and reproducing and or not producing and not reproducing in the case of what they look like they're interested in now. Now that we've built all of society, I just don't think they need us. Every auditorium has been built, every stadium, every skyscraper that's ever going to be needed has been built. And I just don't think they need us. We're populating too much of the planet. So they're making it to where we, right now, the latest agenda is to keep cull our numbers. From Thanos and the Avengers snapping his fingers to get rid of half of the population, to even old movies like A Rosemary's Baby. There's all these propaganda movies. And we're in the height of it. I mean, this is going to be in 100 years, this will be remembered as the time that Hollywood was used as the number one tool of socially engineering the planet. Because no, we don't really believe in politicians anymore. I mean, some of us do, especially where I live. They all think Trump is not a corrupt billionaire. And cities away from where I live, they all believe that Kamala is not a filthy woman who has slept her way to the top. and neither of them have any leadership skills whatsoever. One's a businessman and one's a career whore. So it's like, what makes you think they'd be good leaders? So anyway, that house of cards is kind of coming to an end. And luckily, Hollywood is also seemingly coming to an end through innovations like Unreal Engine and AI. Soon, the kids will be making their own Star Wars, and they won't need to see the Hollywood propaganda version of Star Wars that now exists. They'll go back to the original inspiring Star Wars of the George Lucas times. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the rant.
No, apology rejected. I love the rants, and there was so much juiciness in there. I'm curious to know, how did you receive the edict to start propagandizing your audience?
It always comes from your betters. So I'm just a director. Mm-hmm. And, well, maybe I should rephrase that so all the pretty girls in the world don't think I don't have power. But it always, I work for a producer, and a producer works for a distributor. So they drop the edicts down all the way. They trickle down to me. Hey, you've got to, if it's a pretty girl, a white girl, she's got to be promiscuous and a villain. If
they
it's a straight white male, yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
In so many words, I'm just making it clear.
Yes.
So if it's a straight white male, he needs to be a villain. Straight white males are the most hated thing in Hollywood.
Right.
They are the Supermans, the Luke Skywalkers, the Captain Kirks. They are the people that inspire the people of this country. So they are a plague, you know, to Hollywood. So if they could make Superman, a movie of Superman where he is a trans black lady, they would love to do that, but they have to do that in increments. Mm-hmm. They can't do it quite yet.
Right.
Like if Hollywood was not falling, they would have that, because the villains, obviously, they plan decades ahead. While we normal people usually are just worried about short-term things happening for us. Well, the bad guys have decades of planning ahead of time. And just like they're trying to normalize pedophilia, so when their house of cards falls, they don't look like bad guys. They look like they're just people with a sexual choice. The same thing is that they're planning with taking away all identity of our culture. Mm-hmm. So when you see a Little Mermaid, you don't know if she's black or if she is from Scandinavia, because they want to destroy all of our cultures and all of the originality and all the special artistic creation it took to make those things. Mm-hmm. And they just make us into one big homogenized stew. And it's a lot more detrimental than people think. So when older people who are awake or who are conservatives are watching their newscasts and believing, oh, well, I believe that the president is... They don't think about how our culture is being vandalized to take away all of our human spirit. And in the end, it's our creations, silly as Superman may sound to us being adults, he is not silly to a little boy. He is inspirational. Mm-hmm. And he shows a great spirit to a little four-year-old. He'll mean everything. And a little kid will want to be like Superman when he grows up. But what is Superman? He is sent here because he looked like us and because the sun is yellow and new and he would be stronger than us. But he doesn't hurt us. He is strong, but he's peaceful. He never just punches a guy because he would splatter him, you know, he turned into hamburger. So Superman only shows us how good we could be. And as silly as that is, you know, with the red cape and the blue tights, as silly as that may look to us, to a little boy, it's right at their level. Same thing as The Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast or Sleeping Beauty are important to girls because they show virtuous and they show sacrifice and they show caring. These little stories form children to what they're going to be and to adults that we're going to be. So it's way more important that our culture not be vandalized in the way that it's being vandalized now, sadly.
Agreed. How do you respond when these orders come down telling you to make the white women promiscuous, the white men the villains? How do you handle that?
Well, you know, I'm just a Mexican. I'm of a low race in this country. So I don't really, I mean, I'm racist against people. Don't think I'm not. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. But I don't see a reason why it should be in the arts, mm-hmm. why we should hate white people. That just doesn't make any sense. I'm not a black person. I'm not a black movie director. So they want me to put black people to star in every role. And like I was just assigned recently to a Western movie. And they wanted to have a black sheriff, a black mayor. And I said, well, wait a minute, guys. We're going to be making people more stupid because that didn't exist in history. Our history, as much as it may be offensive to you, that was never a reality. Mm-hmm. So the sheriff and the mayor are going to have to be white as much as it offends you, because we're not trying to rewrite history. Of course, Hollywood is. But I try to catch them on, well, hey, are you guys doing this because it's better for the story or because it's better for your political career? Mm-hmm. Hollywood will always pay people forward who are doing their bidding. Right. So if you get on a mic and you have a billion followers and you say the latest Hollywood thing, like, hey, it's great to cut off your penis if you're a little boy, they will reward you. But
financially,
if you don't do that, you get like me, relegated to making B movies. The problem is I know that they need me more than I need them, because I make movies for very cheap that they just can't afford to miss on. So usually they make a $500,000 movie and it looks no better than mine, which was made for $60,000. Mm-hmm. So the producers need me because they get in the black right away. They get profits on their first quarterly report, while their $500,000 movie takes, you know, 2 years to make a penny on. So although they all hate me and they hate interviews like this because I've been doing this, you know, for decades now, I'm just like, I don't care about Hollywood. There's nothing they can do to entice me. Yeah, having more money would be great, but money is just an evil thing that exists to make us not go after what's really important in life. And I have mm-hmm. children, so I know what's really important in life. And the money and the women, I mean, the women's a hard one to say no to. But everything that they have to offer has little value to me mm-hmm. in comparison to standing on my morals. So I may be stupid, but at least I tell the truth. And I have been blacklisted and I have been fired, especially over the last few years. A really big, sadly, the second biggest distributor here in North America blacklisted me, and they said anyone who hires me will get blacklisted too. So that's created a lot of problems for me to just try to pay my mortgage. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that there's anything else. Someone has to stand up to this. We can't all just be like collaborators from World War II. All my producers, sorry to say, I got to work with these guys, but all my producers will be remembered as the neighbor who told on their Jewish neighbors who were hiding. They told the Nazis where they were. They'll be remembered as collaborators because they helped destroy their own culture, and they helped us be enslaved by the overseers. And they may not understand what they're doing, but they know what they're doing is wrong. A lot of them are white men. And they tell me, well, you can't put white, straight white men. I'm like, what? What do you mean? We're a country of white men. What the heck do you mean? Are we in Africa? Are we in China? I mean, if we were in China, I would logically be putting a Chinaman and making kung fu movies, which I love kung fu movies, by the way. And I also have no problem with Asian people. I could make movies with Asian people and not feel like I'm missing anything just because I like their culture. But the way you hear these Hollywood producers talk, they have some kind of hatred towards their own race of people. And it's very manufactured because obviously they don't hate their fathers and their grandfathers, but they have to pretend to in order to be rewarded by Hollywood.
Oh, it's so dark. It's so dark, and I'm having so many thoughts as you're speaking. I'm recalling, I don't watch television or mainstream movies because they're so offensive, but I did see an episode of one newer—
Good for you.
Thank you. They're painful. I took a baseball bat to my television in the 90s, and that was it for me. But I did see an episode of
no
a recent—
No wonder you're so awake.
Thanks. And there was a Hollywood studio head who was Mexican, and I just thought, this is not real at all. They're all Jews.
On
I say that as a Jewish
was
woman.
It supposed to take place?
It was supposed to, I know, it was so offensive, like no one's going to buy this, but I'm curious to know, because you're working with these people on the day to day, and I, like, when I do see glimpses of newer content with actors who've been in the game for 20, 30 years, and I wonder, how do they sleep at night? How are they reading these scripts and willingly choosing to participate in these projects? So is there any sort of awareness that they're selling out? Do they own that? Like, what are the conversations behind the scenes about these trashy projects?
Well, you got to understand, we're a McDonald's culture. Mm-hmm. We see what is big budget and doing financially well as the best. Mm-hmm. So, David, who is that singer you were telling me about who—
Thing is, and ask me about the popular singer there.
You froze up there. Who was?
You said the popular singer. I said Taylor Swift is who I came up with.
Okay, so that's the most popular singer.
Just culturally, just that you get promoted. It has a lot of advertisement. Right. Yeah.
And McDonald's is the most popular restaurant.
Right.
Do either of those seem like the best of anything? Like, if you compared this lady with Taylor with Beethoven?
No.
Even Led Zeppelin. So, you see, we are a culture that doesn't like the best. There's more people who listen to Beyonce than Beethoven. Mm-hmm. So we like whatever's easiest, trashiest, and sorry, we're kind of like a poop culture. Who like, you know, things that are just advertised to us as opposed to what's really good for us. And that's why these actors, they don't see the difference between a person like Shakespeare who died poor. He was a sucker. They like success. Mm-hmm. Chasing after money is the and fame is the most important thing. It gives status to men. Women feel desired, and they want that forever because they don't care about anything of substance or anything good. So if Disney says, well, kill off Harrison Ford in the new Star Wars, or make him subservient to a feminist woman in Indiana Jones, he does it all because not only is he thinking about his grandchildren's, you know, being part of the elite class, he also wants the money and the fame that come with it. Mm-hmm. And that's a older man who already knows who he is. The younger actors, they're as easily fooled as dangling a carrot in front of their face, and they'll do anything. It's like, having the girl at your school not care if she's a whore. She just doesn't want anyone to know she's a whore. So that's the same mentality that actors have. They're like, well, I'm just doing a role. But history, I think people are waking up. And through efforts, through people like us three, they'll be exposed. I mean, they all have to be okay. If you want to be like an Avenger or the star of a movie, you have to be okay with pedophilia. Either have to be taking part in it and horribly destroying some 12-year-old boy's life, or you have to have pictures of you being a part of it, like having a being at a pool party where it's happening right behind you. There's no way to be an A-list actor without that. The chair has been pulled out for me 3 times to elevate. And all 3 times I would have to be okay with horrible, horrible things. But I'm a dad and it just won't work for me. And no matter what, no matter if there's $1 billion involved and all the beauty, my own harem, I couldn't. I'm a dad.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for being a decent human being. It's crazy to think that that's the exception. And I understand that it is for sure. So going back to movies were great in the 70s, movies were great in the 80s. Like I loved Apocalypse Now. I loved Serpico. I loved Harold and Maude. Like those were all my favorites. Were those people pedophile scumbags or did something flip?
Well, that was a very strange time in human history. That was the first time where Hollywood was getting old. United Artists were getting old. Warner Brothers were getting old. They were in their 80s. And they had to sell the companies off. And they sold them to, big beverage companies and big, just the biggest companies in the world. So for a short time in the 70s, they were choosing people based on, are you ready? They were choosing people based on merit.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So people who were not their nephews, not people who got them cocaine and hookers, but people who were actually good filmmakers. So if you'll notice, only one time in human history have we ever had a time where Francis Ford Coppola, Brian De Palma, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Ridley Scott, all these people came from that one time. But they quickly found out, the Hollywood executives quickly found out that they can get their sexual desires met if they flaunted their power, as opposed to giving their movies to artsy fartsy people like, Coppola and George Lucas. But in those times, we had the greatest time is the 70s and 80s. You had popular culture was at its finest. David's a big fan of Rocky. You like Serpico. I like Star Wars. I like Saturday Night Fever. These movies are all wildly, dynamically different, but all excellent. Star Wars will be remembered in King Arthur of our time. It'll never go away. We have movies like The Godfather, movies like Jaws that are just chilling. Movies like The Exorcist, which is to this day the scariest Christian film ever made. And I call it a Christian film because it shows the goodness of God and the evil of the devil. Just wonderful, wonderful movies that we have never been able to make in the last 30 years. Nothing of that quality has ever hit. There's nothing in the last 30 years that is even, and I know that they've made a million Star Wars movies, but they're made with social engineering in mind, and evil cannot create, it can only destroy. So yeah, they can purchase the Star Wars IP from George Lucas, who is very elderly now himself, but they can't redo what he did. That's why it's all failing and coming apart. There are actually more people who watch videos based on how much Star Wars is stupid now on YouTube than there are actual viewers of the Star Wars shows on Disney Plus. Well, same thing with Star Trek. There are actually more viewers on YouTube with commentators making fun of how stupid Star Wars and Star Trek have become. It's crazy. Crazy to think that that's Hollywood still tries to fight against this. If they were only money hungry, they would go the way that people want. They would make better quality, but they're not interested in making money. They work for the people who print money. They right. just want to socially engineer the next generation to where they can't even tell the difference between good and bad so that they have no frame of reference. They want us to start like at year one of human evolution, where wonderful things like Casablanca or Gone with the Wind are seen as, I mean, Gone with the Wind, they say, is a racist movie that people shouldn't watch. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. And it says a lot about the human condition. It should be mandatory to see it, not being told by Hollywood that it's some kind of a hateful movie and should be avoided. It's the exact wrong thing to say.
Yeah, I feel like there's this Sorry revisionist for that rant. History. No, again, apology rejected. Your every rant is welcomed and appreciated. It feels like Hollywood is hell-bent on this revisionist history. And I remember growing up, like, Sanford and Son was my favorite show. Red Fox was my first crush. In the 80s, we all loved The Cosby Show, The Jeffersons. These weren't for Black people. These were for everyone. And then somewhere along the way, this, like, engineered racism, this fictional racism dropped in, and all of a sudden, movies had to be remade with all Black casts for just Black people so we could have this divide. When did you see that starting to creep in?
Well, it's always kind of been there. But the fact that it's all 100% now is a thing that in 2012, I'll tell you this, and this is going to sound weird, but in 2012, they had to purchase the last IP that will give them full domination. So they had to purchase Star Wars and Indiana Jones from George Lucas. Once they did that in 2012, they said, now we have no competitors.
And
now we own
they?
Marvel. We own the
who's
Hollywood,
the
Disney.
Okay. Okay.
The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. So they get Bill Gates. They now have total control, because what they were afraid of is them going into full propaganda mode, you know, trying to make every superhero gay or, and they've done that in the comic books. Superman is gay in the comic books. Batman is a pedophile who abuses Robin. It's just horrible, horrible. You can't even get your kid a comic book these days. So they didn't want to have the ownership of all those superheroes and make propaganda movies only to have George Lucas make a Star Wars movie. He was going to make another three Star Wars movies, which would have been very detrimental, because those would have been a big hit because they have no propaganda other than good propaganda. So they didn't want people to see the dichotomy between the two. So they had to purchase Star Wars. They told George Lucas, no, 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 don't make it. We'll make it. And he's like, you don't want me to at least make the first one? So he was dumbfounded. He had gotten all the three actors, Luke Skywalker, Harrison Ford, and Princess Leia together, and told them, we're going to make three more Star Wars about you guys being old. And Disney said, no, we don't want that. We'll purchase it. They purchased it for $4.9 billion. And they said, now we have total control. Now there is no IP that can contend with us. So that's when they started to go into, and you'll notice 2015, when the first of the Disney Star Wars movies came out, is when everyone shifted. Every company shifted. Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, all of Hollywood shifted to one exact mindset.
Isn't it so interesting that, so it was Obama that passed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act that made it legal for the American government to propagandize its own people. And it was under Obama that we had Black Lives Matter and this narrative that said race relations had devolved to the point where we needed to take these extreme measures under the first Black president. I find that so astounding and such a bizarre coincidence.
Yeah, well, it's also not a coincidence that right before Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney, that he won an award for being best director or whatever from the president. And he says in that meeting, he met the president and the president told him he should sell because he was going to enact some tax laws. And he was a big Star Wars fan and he didn't want George Lucas to suffer or for all his employees at Lucasfilm to be fired. So it seems like even the president is involved in it. And which we all know because we understand that, but there's a clear, I mean, Lucas is on video saying it. You see pictures of Obama whispering in his ear as he's putting the medal over his neck. So it's, yeah, he was here to divide and conquer more than anyone, because before him, you are correct, we had Bill Cosby. He was the dad of America. It didn't matter if you were a Jew girl like you or some filthy Mexican like me. He was the dad of the entire thing. And of course, he doesn't play ball either. So they got him somehow. But that's what will happen. If I had, 10 million people who knew who I was, they would get me somehow too.
Right.
It's only that I'm just a small fish that I'm not worth, you know, shooting with a heart, what do you call those, heart attack darts? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm having a heart attack. I'm coming, Elizabeth. Like Red Fox.
Right.
So that's just the way it is. But yeah, I know Sanford and Son and Archie Bunker and the Jeffersons. None of us used to care about anything like that. It's just silliness that they try to pit us against each other. We know good and well. We all like good people, no matter what they are. And we all dislike bad people, no matter what they are. Like, I'm a Mexican. Do you think I like cholos? Do you think I like gang members with tattoos on their face just because they're my same race? Heck no, I'll try to cross the street. You know, so you think black people like hip hop gangster looking guys? They cross the street too. We all like good people and we don't like bad people. And that used to not even be an issue until race baiting politicians came in and made the white young people, especially the liberal people, hate themselves and hate their people's accomplishments. And, hate the Jews again. I mean, they say, oh, the Jews run Hollywood. Well, they do run Hollywood and they should. They were there when Hollywood was being built and they were in the entertainment business. They put on little ant circuses and they had the first cameras and they would entertain the workers. They're not there because of some nefarious plot. They were just there from the beginning. So their great grandchildren and great, great, great grandchildren inherit the family business. And well, they should. It's not an ethnic type of power to destroy the world. It's just that they were there in the beginning and they were smart about it. And I'm sure they weren't making millions of dollars by putting on little ant circuses in 1910, but that's all that they had for entertainment. They would put on, you know, shows and plays. So they were always part of the entertainment industry. Good for them. It's part of their culture that they should be proud of. And they have made some incredible movies and they have allowed non-Jews to make incredible movies too. So I don't know what people are complaining about the Jews in Hollywood for anyway. Yes, there's good Jews and there's evil Jews. And just like there is of every one of us. And yes, the evil ones happen to be in charge now, but it's not because of just because of their that race. They were just smart.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective. And I, you know, I've delved into this quite a bit. I've done a number of shows on the history of anti-Semitism. And, you know, I was very interested in Kanye when he started speaking out. And I found it very refreshing that he was speaking his truth. But I feel like the fallacy is that the Black musicians were getting worse deals than anyone else. And I did my moment in Hollywood, you know, with an agent and writing for television and movies. And it's like, the agents and managers screw everyone equally. Like, they're parasites. Their job is to be parasitical. So it's not like their Jewish clients were getting better percentages than the Black clients. That's just the name of that whole gross game.
It is a gross game. And I mean, to think that, I don't know who the person is you named.
Kanye West, or whatever he's going by these days. I know he keeps changing his name.
No, I don't know. But like, you know, Michael Jackson had giraffes at his house in Neverland. Mm-hmm. You're saying that he had a bad deal? I don't think he had a bad deal. He was very rich, but he was also very talented. So right. That went hand in hand, especially in the 80s, because in the 80s, they used to say, well, we need to make money. We got to make this the best we can make it. Now they say, well, we need to make this popular. How do we advertise it? Mm-hmm. So the goal is no longer to make funny shows or to make great inspiring movies. It's just, how do we get the suckers there once we have the money they're exposed to our message? Mm-hmm. So I have an 11-year-old boy. It's hard to get him not to go see Wolverine and Batman and stuff that little kids are interested in. But when I do take him, I say, okay, so your homework for today, because they're all homeschooled, my kids, I said, will be to write down all the propaganda you see in the Wolverine movie and the Batman movie. And he's telling me in the theater, oh, Dad, look at it. So he's telling me things right away. And I'm like, shh, you got to be quiet in here. But it's so obvious that if you're not afraid to say the truth, it's all obvious and they're right in your face.
Right.
You know, we went to go see Wolverine and Deadpool, and it's all just one long gay joke showing 12-year-old boys that they should joke about being gay and that it's okay, as opposed to disgusting life choice that makes your butthole fall out when you're 60 years old. I'm from San Francisco, so I've known a lot of gay people. Sadly, my father-in-law was, and my godfather were gay, and they died young. And but I know that these old guys, their buttholes start to give way when they're old and they have to wear diapers. That's what gayness brings you in life. You're going to be wearing diapers. So while men like John Wayne were still huffing and puffing cigarettes, punching people in the face and getting on horses at that age, they're going to be having to stay close to a toilet and wearing diapers, even in their own house. That's what gayness will lead you to. But if you look at Hollywood, you think it's the greatest lifestyle ever, but it's just a way to depopulate, make people so stupid that they don't want to have kids, and make people just be wage earners and tax cattle till they die.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Renee and David. As you are inspired to tune in to the second half, you can find that over on both my Locals and Patreon platforms. Those addresses are dannykatz.locals.com and patreon.com/dannykatz. At both of those communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content. Choose whichever platform feels most aligned for you, and do join us for the second half of this super exciting conversation. In the meantime, I would like to thank you for sharing your sacred attention with me and for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.